Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I am broadcasting live. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm just, you know, launching a pithy toot. But how was Ohio?
Ohio was fine. Do we have a theme? Are we suddenly Karens? Are we drunk now, or what's going on with the theme?
So we don't have a movie to discuss on this episode, and for some reason I was just like, let's just do Karen Walker for the GIFs.
Did you want to talk about Will and Grace?
No, I mean, it got renewed, but it's probably gonna be terrible, so let's not talk about it.
Wait, they're bringing it back?
Oh, you didn't hear about that?
I did not hear about that.
Yeah, they're bringing the show back. They haven't all found successful careers after the end of the series, but they're all getting the band back together.
Is it going to be a Netflix thing or something like they did for the Fuller Houses?
No, it's on NBC.
NBC still airs shows.
Yes, it does. And Bob Greenblatt, the president of NBC, was at the television critics event thing here in Los Angeles at the Beverly Hills, and talking about how they are healthier now than they were before because people are watching things digitally these days and paying for things, and so they have great demographics, but it's all time shifted, so you really have to look at like 30 days out on everything that people watch, and they actually watch in the millions. So they are making money off of digital advertising because they're finding ways to parcel out selling those ads against the window that they can view things on. But I don't know what that has to do with Will and Grace. I just thought I would mention it. But yeah, it's coming back. The show's coming back. It was a little long in the tooth, as they say, when the show had ended. So I don't know. I don't know how that's going to pan out. But
how many seasons did they do?
A number that the internet could tell me if I had looked it up.
Because I definitely don't think they did anything dramatic, did they? They didn't marry off a character or kill other characters or anything, did they?
Yeah, they did a lot of that, actually.
Oh.
Yes. That was Grace got married a couple times, and there was pregnancies.
She got married a couple times?
Yeah, and it was Harry Connick Jr. was one of the husbands. And
I remember he was there. I don't remember things.
There was stuff. So there were the 8 seasons, 194 episodes.
A lot of seasons.
The number came to me when we were talking. It just
popped into your head.
Yeah. But anyway, no, there's no particular reason that I selected, Karen Walker GIFs. But there they were.
She's a good character. Mm-hmm. She's probably the best part of that show.
Yeah. I mean, but
well,
she's not,
Jack's pretty good too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why they were always paired together for their little escapades. But they Will himself, not great. And Grace, but yeah, the other two, pretty good. But there's only so much she could do with that because that is sticky. Anyway, you derailed me from my Ohio inquiry. So how was Ohio?
It was fine. I had never been to Cincinnati/Kentucky before, so it was fine. It was close enough to the rest of the Ohio that I've been to that it didn't seem wholly unfamiliar, but the weather was mostly pleasant until the last day where it rained a whole lot, which was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Saw some family, well, air quotes family. Drank a lot of beer and other beverages. And the wedding was a good time. Somebody threw up on the van.
Ooh,
not van, shuttle thing. You know, the shuttle that takes you from the hotel to the thing.
The little party bus shuttle. But usually no partying. Usually you just sit. Wait. They had enough before the event that they threw up, or they had enough that they threw up on the way back from the event.
On the ride back from the event, because it was a place where the event could go till 11, which was nice, and there was an open bar the whole time, and they had lots of strong drinks. And people were partying hard. Plus, you know, the couple that were getting married are still in their mid to late 20s, so they had a lot of energy, and so did a lot of the guests.
Ah, well, see, I went to one wedding where someone was ill, but it happened outside of the vehicle on the way back from an event. But
this was on the three little steps on your way out.
Oh, dear.
Van thing. No, it's great. This van totally deserved it, though, because they were supposed to make like four runs from the hotel to the venue to pick people up. They made the first run, and then the next one didn't come until like the fourth run was supposed to be there. They just didn't show up for another 40 minutes to come back to get the rest of the people. And we're like, what the hell's going on here? And the guy shows up, he pulls back up in front of the hotel, and understandably, there's, you know, 30 people waiting there wondering where the hell he's been for the past half hour or so. And he sits there staring at his console, pushing buttons for 10 minutes because he can't get the door open.
Oh.
It's just sitting there idling, filling the entire little carport area in front of the hotel with exhaust fumes. And he's just like looking frustrated. People are shouting advice like, turn it all the way off, turn it back on, hit the button.
Oh.
And he can't figure out how to open the two little, you know, school bus doors to this shuttle van. And then eventually a couple of folks just grabbed the doors and yanked on them. And I guess they were just stuck. They came open and they worked for the rest of the night, which was helpful.
That's good. one time I went to a wedding where the shuttle bus ran over one of the water sprinkler heads at this. It was at a vineyard, and apparently that caused a problem because then water started pooling and there was just like this giant mud pit that started to form. And they had to turn off the water, and then they had to bring in one of those toilet buses.
You mean like the things that clean out septic tanks?
No. A bus, van, long trailer, tractor trailer thing. But it's all toilets inside.
Oh yeah. Okay. Sure.
Yeah. One of those. So that was also charming. Those buses. They cause problems. They cause a lot of problems, I have to say. But other than that, how were things in the Buckeye State?
Oh boy.
You played golf, right?
I did play golf.
Top that's golf, right?
That was down the end of the trip. But we stayed in a little town called Hamilton, Ohio, which was it was very charming. Mm-hmm. It was all built in, you know, early 1700s or something. They had some very cool old buildings downtown. You know, every corner of every block is a church. Everything's a church.
Well, you know, with God, all things are possible.
Right, except for the revitalization of downtown Hamilton, Ohio. there's a nice little like German village, and you know, a lot of really cool old architecture, and it's like historical society stuff. Some of the buildings have these big metal plaques on the side of them about 12 feet up where it says the flood of 1910 reached this height, and it's like, oh my, everybody must drown. Because that's way too high for there to be water and humans at the same time. But it was cool. We saw all the buildings and we're walking around looking at all these old buildings. There's a lot of them that are like still empty and need of some renovation. And you can tell the historical society is trying to get people to like, you know, live in the city or live in those buildings and renovate them and get them back looking nice again. And it was really empty and kind of peculiar, the downtown / this German village area, except for three, four... adult, rather disheveled-looking men who weren't wearing T-shirts, just sort of like wandering around on the sidewalks. I'm like, oh, this is kind of funny. And then there was a fellow walking his dog, and of course he said, "Oh, this cute dog you got there." And he said, "Thank you." And he said, "This is a nice little town here." He's like, "Yeah, it is now." And then he kept walking, but over his shoulder he said he kind of whispered back towards us, "You know, they just went through the whole town and got rid of a bunch of people because big drug problem around here." I was like, oh, that's okay. That explains a few things, I suppose.
Yeah, well, Ohio has an enormous opioid crisis right now.
Yeah,
hear.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it seems that it made its way down to Hamilton, for certain. Mm. And then, you know, we were in the Walgreens picking up some bottles of water because you don't want to buy your $4 bottle of water from the hotel. And my dad was saying, hey, I could totally retire here and start fixing up houses. This seems like a cool little place. And I was like, no, don't do that. Unless you live way out on the west side, on the other side of the river, people are just going to break into your house and steal all your stuff. I'm like, what, really? It seems actually quite chill down here. And, you know, there's a few cops patrolling around, so it seems like they're on the ball or whatever. And they're like, no, just don't do anything around downtown. Go way out west. And the west side is, you know, they still got some nicer houses or whatever, but it's all just like, there's a Jack in the Box and a liquor store and a grocery store. And it's like, what goes on in this town? But near the German Village, there was this really cool, because we're just looking at all the architecture. That's really the stuff that interests me. There was a, there's a lot of very large abandoned factories, as one would expect in the Midwest. There's one that I swear is bigger than any Amazon warehouse I've ever seen. It's like, it was probably three city blocks long and one wide. And there was the house across the street. The guy said, yeah, it used to be even bigger. It used to go all the way down to the railroad tracks and the McDonald's down there, but it caught fire about a year ago and they tore that section down. And they're thinking about just tearing down the rest of this. And it was a paper mill. And it's like, this must have employed the entire town of Hamilton. That kind of explains why there's nobody here. Like, it was so, there's two places downtown that you can eat. One of them closes at 3, so we, or it was like 2:30 or something, so we didn't eat lunch there or whatever. But there's like one coffee shop, and it's like, what, how are there people in this town? It's like a ghost town, and I guess they're all just out on the west side. But it's really kind of a freaky ghost town, because it's kind of just like, well, one day the industry disappeared and now there's this, and there's very few people, and it's a little eerie. But it's got some
Lake
cool
Erie.
Buildings. No, it's not. It's not near the Lake Erie. It's near some tributary river right out there.
Yeah, well, all rivers lead to Erie.
I'm not sure that's fact and evidence.
I suppose not. But so anyway, that's nice. I'm glad you made it back. You had a crazy plan for making it back, where didn't
so
sleep,
dumb.
And then you stayed up in the hotel lobby the whole entire night.
It was so dumb. We were. We're leaving Monday morning, and I guess the only direct flight back on Frontier Airlines, which is one of the worst airlines I've ever flown on, don't ever fly on them, was at 6:40 in the morning, Ohio time, and it was like, we'll get back, super early, like, you know, with the time difference in the flight time, we'll be back before 8 a.m. Monday morning, but we didn't realize that Hamilton was about an hour from the airport, and we got to be there an hour and a half, 2 hours ahead of time. So it basically put us like waking up at like 3 a.m. to pack and check out and all that stuff. And we're like, well, you know, we've been partying and going to bed late anyway, and why don't we just stay up and then we'll just go to the airport and then in the morning. But that proved to be a challenge, primarily for my 63-year-old father, who slept in the back of the car for an hour while the rest of us were at Topgolf. He's just like, no, I'm going to take a nap here in the back seat of the car. And His friend was kind of like knocking on the window, making fun of him. But we stayed up all night, Sunday night, until it was time to leave. And then we drove to the airport. But no, we couldn't stay at our hotel. So we drove, Sunday afternoon, we drove down to a brewery, because everything in Ohio is a brewery. Everything is a church and a brewery in Ohio. So we went to four different breweries on Sunday, which was fun. Some of them were very cool. One of the advantages to an economically decimated city is apparently there are a lot of giant, cool, old brick warehouses that are empty and for sale that will house beer making vats / party hangout areas or whatever.
Yeah, apparently Pittsburgh is kind of like that too.
I can imagine.
Yeah, as you might imagine, they had a decline in a lot of the industrial areas that they were involved in, but there were some cool places, including a church that was converted to a brewery called Churchworks.
Totally. Yeah. Like the one directly across the parking lot from the hotel was some sort of municipal building / fire department that was split up into like there's like a rec hall, and then there's a brewery, and then there's some sort of like nonprofit in the other part of it. But it's just like every giant, cool looking early 1900s abandoned building is just internally gutted, but you can still see like, you know, the bones of the factory that it used to be. And they put in their beer vats and they sell, you know, $5 pints of whatever goofy crap they're making. But I don't know if it's like a permitting thing or whatever, but none of them serve food, but they all almost always have a food truck like on the premises that you can order from. And the one across the street was like, we got 17 different kinds of mac and cheese. You can get mac and cheese with chipotle sauce. We can get mac and cheese with chicken. You can get mac and cheese with whatever. But it's like, it's an entire truck just for mac and cheese. And this is the only thing that, this is the only food for like a 15-minute drive in any direction. Like, you guys could serve food, or I guess if it's too hard to pull the permit, just find somebody who can make more than literally one kind of food and, well, serve it here.
With those kinds of things, the food trucks usually rotate. So I'm sure on a different night, they probably get another truck. But
I don't think so. One of the ones we went to in Batavia, I think is how you say it. It was a house, and then they turned the back half into a brewery, and they kind of put up some, like, you know, those like steel shed commercials that you see on TV late at night. They put up some steel sheds to have some seating and stuff. But they had a very close relationship with the food truck out front. They said they didn't want to start offering their own food because they invited these people to be here and they didn't want to compete with them. And it's like, all right, but you realize he serves like one thing and that's not very helpful. And he's parked in the parking lot on the other side of the building. And I don't want to go over there. I just want to have like a waiter bring me a beer and like some food. And then I give you more money. But all of them were like, there's one counter in the far corner that has a square on it, and you go buy your stuff. Like, they don't do like open tabs or anything. It's just like a counter, and then you go back to wherever you were sitting.
Oh, Dan. Mm. There are a lot of breweries that are like that.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, every single corner has one. Like, yeah. It wasn't even hard for us to go to four breweries in one day.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's the case in Ohio, but I know in Pennsylvania, they have extremely restrictive alcohol control law things that keep out stuff from other states or countries for the most part, except for like state stores. And then they have a whole bunch of craft brew places where you go and you get a growler full of whatever. And like that is the beer you will take home and have for the week or whatever, or the next week. Like, it's not... it's not the sort of system that you would expect. And you also can't get those things here because of the way they choose to not ship things. So it's very peculiar. I found that incredibly strange because I would talk to my friend about wine when he was living in Pittsburgh, and he couldn't get anything that was like good, like wine-wise, because the restrictions on things from out of state were crazy, and you could only get it at state stores. But like beer was all over the place, and cider and stuff, and it was just like whatever they could brew there, you could get. But it was just very peculiar.
Yeah, and most of them have, I don't know, 8, 12. Some of these breweries have like 30 different types of brews. Some of them have rotating things. It's just there's a lot of beer all over the place. It's interesting, I guess. But yeah, there was. I mean, it almost felt like a stone's throw away from, like, am I drinking stuff that's actually been, like, prepared properly for human beings to consume? Or am I going to get, like, botulism from drinking somebody's backyard beer or whatever? But, you know, most of them had, like, logos. And, you know, they at least had Square accounts.
Logos so are a good sign.
they have logos and Square accounts and iPads, so that must mean that they can...
They must have a tax ID number. They must be together enough for that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, family businesses. You never know.
Yeah. No, but yeah.
But the beers were good. The liquor store in Hamilton, it was a converted like 90s church. So it kind of had this like gas station vibe, but it was clearly in the shape of a church and had like a little steeple. But they had a massive selection. I was very impressed by their selection.
Interesting. Well, the people in Hamilton obviously have so much to look forward to.
I'm just saying, if you got one coffee shop downtown, like, don't close it for a private event where people are playing like backgammon or whatever, because like that's kind of horrifying for tourism. Like, I need coffee, and there's like old women in there like knitting and playing some sort of board game.
Oh, sorry.
Not to mention, the coffee was fine. I got the rye special. They called it something other than a red eye or black eye or whatever, but it was coffee with espresso in it. It worked pretty well.
Yeah, it's a red eye.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, that was the place that had the dreadful, giant air quotes breakfast burrito, which was it was tasty. It was fine. Yeah, it was just not a burrito or breakfast, really.
You recounted this to me privately, and I was horrified. Could you tell the people who are listening to this podcast so that they can be equally horrified by the revelation of what was involved in this burrito?
Sure. Yeah. According to this little coffee shop in downtown Hamilton, Ohio, which was a good coffee shop and it was an attractive area. Don't get me wrong. Or the place was nice. You know, all of their tables were made out of like reclaimed doors from all, you know, one of the 1,000 churches around there. But their breakfast burrito was an over medium egg, not scrambled, an over medium egg, a slice of tomato, not diced, a full slice of tomato like you would get on a BLT, and then a single slice of avocado, kind of like, you know, the apple wedge slice. So it was like not like a full width avocado slice, just a little half slice thing. Laid flat in a like a whole wheat tortilla, so it was kind of like a Crunchwrap Supreme, and then like grilled in a panini press, and then just sort of cut diagonally. So each thing you were holding was kind of the shape of a like a sandwich, but it was ostensibly a breakfast burrito. There was no salsa, there was no sauce of any sort, no cheese, just an over medium egg, a slice of tomato, and a little tiny bit of avocado.
Horrifying.
It didn't taste terrible, but it was not breakfasty, nor was it a burrito.
No, that's more like you basically had like an egg sandwich wrap.
They had a lot of good looking sandwiches on their menu that we were going to try for lunch on Sunday, but you know, they were closed for their private bunko day or whatever the hell it was.
Sorry.
Instead we went to a brewery and then ate some pizza. Are you familiar with, I don't even know how to pronounce it, Goetta?
No, could you spell that?
Goetta or something like that?
No.
Apparently a Cincinnati thing. It's a sort of breakfasty type sausage mixed with oats or something.
Is this like one of those, like, compressed brick things that they slice, like Scrapple?
Probably, but this was a crumbly version that was on a pizza. It was actually pretty tasty.
Oh, because in
Pennsylvania, it is a breakfast meat, as far as I'm aware. It's a breakfast meat, but they had like a breakfasty type pizza that had some egg on it too, I think.
Yeah, in Pennsylvania, there is this thing the Pennsylvania Dutch enjoy, called Scrapple, and it is horrifying. It's basically all of the bits and pieces that they couldn't use for anything else, like a lot of other sausages can be, mixed with, I think, oats and other stuff. So it sort of forms a loaf, and then they slice that and fry it and serve it to you. Not for me, I would say. It's not a thing that I would like to have in my life. But yeah, so I don't know if that's like that, except they just crumbled it up. But ugh.
They said it was a Cincinnati thing, and it sounded all right otherwise. So we tried it. It was pretty low key pizza, and then the other pizza we had was called like the Three Little Pigs or something. It just had like one of every kind of pork product on it, which was, you know, greasy but still tasty.
Mm, sure, Lisa, the same magical animal. But so yeah. Anyway, I'm looking at the Scrapple page, and it says see also, Goetta.
Oh, good. So it's kissing cousins of the Scrapple.
Yes, they're related.
Goetta and Scrapple sitting in a tree.
BLEEDING.
This brewery was interesting too. That one was which one even was that? It's the tree one. Something tree. Mad Tree. They had so many different kinds of beers. I had a coffee nitro that was not nearly as coffee-y or as nitro-y as any of the other coffee stouts that I've had and liked in the past, but it was fine. They had a vanilla cream ale, which they said was one of their biggest sellers, but it was unpleasant.
Did it taste like vanilla cream, or what did it taste like?
It tasted like a vanilla cream IPA in all of the ways that you would imagine that being described.
I heard two conflicting things.
Imagine all of the bitter hoppiness of an IPA.
Oh.
And the vanilla and cream of a cream stout.
No. Wrong.
It was not a cream ale in the sense that it was a nitro. This was a traditionally CO2 type beer. But they had multiple something cream type flavored things. They were all very strange.
No. You see, I like Cali Creamin'. The ale from Mother Earth Brewing Company. It basically tastes like a vanilla cream soda, like an IBC kind of vanilla cream soda. But it is a beer, It is not one of those like Mike's Hard Lemonade whatevers. It is an actual beer. It just happens to taste that way. So that one's always nice. But your description of that.
I have to take a look at the beers here that they've got. They've got a lot of them. They're really interesting.
You brought growlers back with you, but did you bring back anything inside of the growlers?
No, I brought back a growler just because it was a nice looking growler, and I've never purchased a growler before. But that was a post wedding bad decision. I don't know even how to describe it. When you've been drinking, the last thing you should really decide on is whether or not you should keep drinking. But you know, the wedding went till 11, and clearly everyone had a very good time, vis-a-vis a woman who puked on the bus. But directly across the parking lot, there's one of these breweries, and they got pretty good beer. So we went over there to have another round. They're like, hey guys, we're closing. And this is another thing about all these breweries in these tiny towns. They're like, technically we close in 10 minutes, but we'll keep staying open if, you know, the wedding party's coming over and you're going to drink a bunch of beer. Cause what do we care? We're 18 and we don't have to do anything tomorrow. So they stayed open for a little while and we drank there, but then they're like, yeah, we got to close. And it's like, well, we're not done drinking. Everyone's hanging out around these little fire pits over by the hotel. So it's like, cool, let's get 2 64-ounce growlers of beer and we'll take that with us to drink over. It was a great deal too. You know, the growler itself was $4 and then to fill it up was another like $15 or something. So $15 for 64 ounces of relatively tasty beer was a good deal. But I definitely didn't need it because I kept, you know, as the night went on, I was like, we got to finish this growler. We're not taking it home with us. I kept pouring and pouring and pouring. And eventually I blacked out. There are a few things that are foggy about that evening. But the only reason the night ended at 4:45 in the morning is because it started to rain on us. And we had big old platters of like leftover smoked brisket from, you know, how they do that like meal like a half hour before the wedding venue ends, you know, just like little snack stuff.
It's always like dessert things, like little tiny like cupcakes or whatever.
No, if there's
anything out at that point.
In Ohio and Chicago, at least in the Midwest, most of the time it's like, 45 minutes before the wedding ends, they'll put out like sliders or pulled pork or brisket or whatever, or just some form of heavy meat thing to keep, you know, because people are hungry after they've been dancing for 3 hours and drinking and they need something to eat. So there's these giant trays of brisket, which were actually pretty good. There's a lot of sauce too, but obviously they didn't eat these like, you know, 30 pounds of meat that they had there. So we had a giant tray at the hotel for like 6 people and we're just drinking tons and tons of beer and eating like fistfuls of smoked brisket and macaroni and cheese. And
it's all low calorie stuff.
Yeah, no, not at all. I got a little bit of barbecue sauce on my shirt, which is fine though, because I thought one of the guys who like ran into me near the dance floor just kind of spilled my drink on my hand a little bit. But no, there's 2 giant yellow marks from whatever whiskey or beer he spilled on my shirt too. So his stains were bigger than mine. So it's not really that embarrassing that I got barbecue sauce on me.
His stains were bigger than yours?
The stains that he applied to my shirt. But anyways, yeah, so there was the growler. The growler is very, very attractive. You can't take liquids on. So I carried the growler through my TSA pre-check security scan, which was incredibly helpful, both leaving and going, whatever.
Okay. Usually people say coming and going.
Coming and going. There you go.
Yeah. But I'm glad that you've had a time.
And aside from in our attempt to stay up all night, we hit 4 breweries, then we went to Topgolf, and then we went and hung out at somebody's house for a little while. But yes, Rye is very interested in the Topgolf because he hasn't tried the Topgolf, and he's very interested in the golf. But it was good. There were like 6, 8 of us, whatever it was, and we took turns hitting the microchip golf balls.
Okay.
I hit the ball far. I can't hit it as straight as the old folks who golf all the time.
Okay. So how does that work exactly? You get points? Is there...
So what you're supposed to do is you get a card. You got to have a card. Well, you don't have to have a card, apparently, if you kind of cheat the system, but you get a card. It's a lifetime membership card.
Wait, back up.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean cheat the system? What's the system?
So what you're supposed to do is everybody has their own card. Like if you go to a casino and they try to give you a member card so you can keep track of all the points you got, so you can get more points at the, casino store to get a sweater or something.
Mm-hmm.
They get a card to keep track of it, and it's linked to your phone number, or your Twitter account or whatever it is. You buy your card for a lifetime, and then you bring it with you every time you go there, and you plug it in so you can keep track of your scores. So everybody's got a little tab, and then you get, I don't know, you get like 15 or something rounds that you're supposed to hit, 15, 20 balls that you're supposed to hit. And you're elevated, I don't know, 20, 30 feet above the ground, and way out in front of you, there's a bunch of pins, like any driving range, but around the pins are like a 40-foot radius net that are all, they got sensors on them, and the balls have sensors inside of them. So you hit the ball into the net to get points. And the closer to the pin you get in the middle of the net, you get more points. And I think the further away the net is, the more points you get too. But
it's like skee ball.
It's basically skee ball with golf. but you know, you get like 3, 5, 7, 9, 10 points for wherever you hit the thing, and then it records it and it links it to your card account. And then at the end of the game, you can hit a button; it'll tweet out your score or whatever if you're into that kind of thing. But we're not into that kind of thing.
No, nobody should tweet.
But basically, you pay for the time. You don't pay for the number of balls. You know, pay for an hour, and then you go, and then you rotate, and you skip around, and they've got couches and or tables, and they got waiters that bring you sandwiches and beers and stuff. I got some chicken and waffle sliders 2 times ago that we went to. Were actually surprisingly good. But basically, what we did is only two people had cards. Which is fine, doesn't really matter, because we didn't bring ours to Ohio, because that would be stupid. So
they can't look up your account? They can't be like, oh, Dan Sturm of Ahwatukee, Arizona?
Yeah, they can look up my account if I want to buy another card, which I don't want to buy another card, because it's stupid.
Okay.
It's your lifetime card, Joe. You got to remember your lifetime card.
Sure.
Yeah, so basically two people put the cards in, and then we just kept hitting balls on their account. So that, you know, technically we gave them our scores. So if they're going to tweet out our scores and make themselves look better than they actually were. But
Wait, so they were bad and you were good, or you didn't take their scores down?
No, my scores were recorded on their card because I didn't have a
no,
card.
No, but that's what I mean, though, is like they're not regretting that decision. Like you didn't take down their average.
I don't think we did that. No. But then again, mm-hmm. like all eight of us were playing on the one card. So you know, some were better than others.
Ah, it just evens it out.
A little skew. So basically, we would hit three balls, hand the club to the next person. They would hit three balls, rotate around for eight people. And then after an hour, you've hit maybe, I don't know, 15 balls for $45 or whatever the hell it was.
That's a lot of balls.
It's not really that many compared to like your run-of-the-mill driving range.
Ah, your run-of-the-mill balls. All right, so you hit all of these, and you had chicken sliders, and
no, the chicken sliders were at Topgolf in Arizona prior.
Oh.
I
didn't have anything. You have there? Do you have any food there?
I had some water. It was late at night, and I needed to drive to the airport eventually. And I had been to four breweries prior to this, so
delicious water. Stay hydrated. But
it was not good. I asked them if they could make me some coffee, and they said sure. And then they never brought me any coffee, and then we left. I mean,
I've had that happen before where I've been like, could I have this? And they're like, yes. And then they disappear. And then a while later, you're just like, you keep seeing the waiter come by. You're just like, hello, hi.
Well, I mean, that's an unusual request at 11 p.m. on a Sunday night for a driving range. I get that. I'm like, you guys have coffee? It's like, yeah, it's probably not very fresh, but I can make a new pot if you'd like that. I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. A half hour, 45 minutes later, it's like, okay, bye. Thank you for nothing.
Oh, well.
She was nice, though. She brought everyone their beers.
So I didn't realize it was 11 o'clock at night you were asking for coffee. But
they're open till midnight on a Sunday because, I mean, what else are you going to do? And it's also next to those, I don't know if you guys have them there, there's these other giant buildings called Main Event. It is like an adult, I don't even know how you describe it. Like, remember the places back in the day that would have all kinds of different toys and stuff for kids to play in? Like, they have bowling, they have, like, ropes courses, they have like Dave and Buster style video games. It's just a giant, giant brick or concrete building that has alcohol and games for adults, and it's right next to the Topgolf, so it's clearly like the only little plaza for drunk adults to do anything.
Okay. Dan, have you been to the website where they have these bowling ball head things?
For Main Event? No.
Yeah, it's horrifying. What is happening with their heads? They're apparently just like people, but they just put these cartoon bowling ball heads on.
Oh, that's interesting. No, I've never been. We have a main event here, but it's directly across from the liquor store and the IKEA. So, like, you know, if I'm going to go to that plaza, I'm going to the liquor store and I'm going to IKEA instead of going to main event, because it's another one of those things. It's like, pay $70 and you can bowl with your friends and then run around on these high rope courses and climb a climbing wall or whatever the hell they have there.
Yeah, apparently they do not have it in California.
Eat, bowl, play is their motto. That's fantastic right there.
Oh, good.
Let's see. I got to say, view the menu, taste the fun, reserve a lane, book a party, summer fun pass. What do we got going on here? Go bowling, play games. Oh, they got laser tag there. They got gravity ropes, whatever that is. Did you scroll down to see the person with the bowling ball head who is dabbing?
No. It didn't says, see that one.
Four new birthday package. Easy for mom, epic for kids. And there's a millennium female with a bowling ball head dabbing.
Mm.
Yeah, so this is a place that... Yeah.
Where is Roseville, California?
That's a good question.
Oh. Oh, dear. It's next to Sacramento.
Of course it is. Isn't that where the Topgolf is? I bet you it's literally right next to the Topgolf.
No, that is the Topgolf. There are no main events in California.
Yeah, but, we looked this up.
Yeah, there is a Topgolf. And it's one of those things where when you look it up on Google Maps, it says 6 hours and 20 minutes driving, and then it shows an alternate route of a flight that I could take for an hour and 15 minutes from $133. So that was nice. Thank you, Google Maps. I'm not going to be going.
Ryan wants to drive to Topgolf with you. He is so obsessed with the Topgolf.
No, yeah, he can go do that and enjoy the state capitol.
There are other places to get a $6 Michelob Light and then hit a golf ball, but like they won't all have like blue and red fluorescent lights all over everything.
And they won't have your lifetime point card. So
yeah, that's true. I mean, you'd have to keep track of your own scores with the pencil and pen, paper, whatever. He wants tiers. He wants to be able to hit golf balls from an elevated deck.
Okay. Well, I'm sure there has to be something like that. You know, I don't know, Pomona or something. Some place where they have land to build.
the local driving range / arcade / I don't know, like mini golf course. They had like little water boats and like little race cars that you could drive around. That had a two-level driving range here before they tore it down to turn it into luxury condos.
Oh. Cool
story. So I feel like most driving ranges at least have two floors, but you're only, you know, you're up like 12 feet instead of 30, 40, 50, whatever. But there's also, it's fun because they say stand behind this red line when somebody's hitting so they don't hit you in the face with the club, because they're actually very compact. They, you know, you're not too far from the person hitting the ball at any given time. And they say, of course, no running starts Happy Gilmore style, because, you know, 2 feet to your left from where you're hitting is the edge and you can fall down and die. But I mean, they have a net. They have like a 3-4 foot wide net that sticks out from the edge of the concrete in case you do overswing like a doofus and fall off the edge. You will land in a net, most likely. It is still very possible to fall to your death.
Yikes. I have a fear of heights.
Well, I mean, I don't think this would trigger your fear of heights. I also have a bit of a fear of heights, but like, you know, behind you is a very large building. They have a lot of, rooms you can rent out for parties that basically look like, an airport hotel. It's just got like some really perfunctory chairs and like a widescreen TV stuck on the wall. And maybe there's like a table in the corner or something.
Okay. Well, just so long as I can have beverages and sit, then I guess that's fine.
Mm-hmm. There are plenty of slightly too expensive domestic beers, and they have alcohol. They all have the weird thing about it is, of course, since it's a giant national chain, they're all laid out exactly the same. So the ones here are physically identical to the ones that were in Ohio. But they have a bar / restaurant for if you're waiting, because normally it's a very popular place. And depending on what time of day you go and what day, you have to wait for probably an hour to get your little lane. And you wait in this giant, stupid restaurant that is just like lit up blue, purple, red, like a nightclub, and you can get yourself a $13 BLT or whatever.
Exciting.
No, it's it is like it's the quintessential sort of chain TGI Fridays ish awful idea of what a driving range should be with alcohol.
Top Golf, it's Friday.
That's yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That works.
Of course it does. It's letters. So anyway, that's nice. And I'm glad you're home at your place where you can slowly roast in your office like normal.
Currently 82.6 degrees, 36% humidity.
That's not so bad. I got a 78.3 here and 35%.
That sounds real nice. Yeah, it's gone up about 1.5, 2 degrees since I've been in here.
Yeah, it was 73 when we started recording.
Temperatures.
Yeah. I don't know. It's nice having the Therm Pro to thank Micah, our previous guest, again.
That was a good episode. I listened back to that recording.
Oh. Just to hear yourself talk.
No, because I thought it was entertaining when we did it, and it turns out it was actually pretty entertaining.
Yeah, no, it was pretty good.
I have humidity follow up after this Ohio trip, man. Like, it was so humid the whole time that, like, by our last day, when of course I'm exhausted and run down, like my sinuses just like they were inflated and hurting. I was like, "What is going on?" It's like, "Oh right, humidity. I'm not used to that."
Sorry.
We'll have him back on for a follow up episode where we berate him about. Well, we said that on the episode, didn't we? He's got to come back to talk about how he now loves steak.
Well, no, he didn't say that. We were going to talk about Kingsman 2, the Golden Circle.
But he was going to update us on how he loves steak and we hate it now.
No, I don't think he said that.
Pretty sure that was in the show.
Okay.
He was being sarcastic, but he said it.
Yes. But yeah, I'm interpreting the sarcasm to mean he's not going to do that. While you maybe are interpreting the sarcasm to mean that he will do that, like it's a double fake out.
I'm not interpreting the sarcasm as anything. Just taking
very
it as
literal,
words, taking it as words that he said.
Okay, all right. So be it, Dan. But you know what is interesting though. What is fascinating right now?
Nothing.
Is that? Well, I was going to say the Netflix Disney thing.
Yeah, when does that happen? Because we haven't watched Moana yet, and I need to get on that.
Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. So anyway, 2012, they announced a deal for stuff, and they have some things on there. And so, like, you can watch, I think, like, the first Avengers movie and some other random stuff. It is not every Disney movie, and it's very much a selective process of what is available. So they're not going to have that going forwards because Disney will have their own service and they're not sure what will be on their service except for Disney and Pixar products. And that Marvel and Star Wars might be on other things. They're not sure. Bob Iger's specific statement was that they want to make sure, you know, they got to check and see how much the fans overlap and determine how they want to do that. And whatever, he just wants to squeeze everybody for every penny they're worth.
Like, how are they going to explain their nonsense? Oh, it's only going to come out of the vault this one time ever if it's literally just a file sitting on a server somewhere. Like, you guys are actually going to have to, like, put all your stuff where people can watch them for once all at the same time, and you can't just arbitrarily add stuff and take stuff down because that would be dumb to do if it's your service.
Well, the interesting thing right now is there's the Disney Anywhere service where you, for free, any title that you have from Disney, any purchase that you have from Disney is available digitally to you when you log into Disney Anywhere on any device that accepts it. And that includes Amazon devices, Apple devices, Google, whatever.
How long have they been doing this? I thought they did a similar thing. I thought they were on kind of like an ultraviolet style thing where you get like a... Is that basically what this is? It's like a super locked up version, digital version that comes with the DVD, theoretically, if you register your UPC code or some crap.
Yeah, but it doesn't suck like Ultraviolet sucks. So you don't have to deal with all of the other random BS that Ultraviolet does. What happens is your purchases essentially become available inside of iTunes, even if you bought them through Amazon and vice versa. And it's just as available as any other thing. So it's just as if you bought it through the service. Not squirreled away somewhere weird. There is a Disney Anywhere app you can open and also stream stuff from there, but I don't know why you would versus doing the other thing. And that goes for any Marvel or whatever thing too. I don't know how much of a cue they're going to take from that in terms of like cross-platform availability, but they did make a substantial investment in the Major League Broadcasting tech spin-off thing. The thing that does basically like almost all of the streaming services that you see on the Apple TV or elsewhere, on Fire TV, etc.
Oh, the company who produces all those apps. So like when there's an update to one app, you get like 30 different apps that are ready to be updated.
Yeah, because they do like HBO's apps and back-end stuff.
And like
which is
the FX app or Fox app and all that other terrible nonsense.
Yeah. Whenever you see people on the internet complaining that Game of Thrones isn't doing such and such or whatever on a Sunday night, it's Major League Baseball's problem. So they have that, and they have made a substantial investment in the past, and they've increased that investment again. So they're moving forwards with this. So that hopefully means it will maybe not suck completely, but
we'll
see how it goes.
The main issue with most of these people who go, fine, I'm gonna go start my own streaming service and you guys can pay me directly and screw you if you don't like it, is always the fact that they don't have the content to back up their business plan. But I think if anybody would, Disney's kind of got the stuff.
Yeah,
I'm saying, but it might be successful and they might be able to charge a lot of money and make people pay for it.
Yeah, well, I read some terrible analysis from Wallenstein, one of the writers for Variety. I think he's one of the head editors of... Anyway, it doesn't matter. He had written something ridiculous where he was just like, yeah, this is why they made that deal yesterday. Netflix made that deal yesterday with Mark Miller's company, Miller World, where they're going to be, you know, be the masters of their own destiny. They're going to have these comic book properties to tap into now because they won't have Marvel. It's like... time out. Let's roll this back. Mark Millar's stuff that's going on over there is not exactly comparable to the library of childhood IP and nostalgia that Disney has amassed. So I don't think they're comparable in any way. Now there are things that Mark Millar's companies have done, like Kingsman and the movie Kick-Ass and stuff like that, but it's just like that. I would not put these on a level playing field at all, like in terms of financial success or reach or name recognition or anything. So anyway, Disney is just an IP licensing machine. Mm-hmm. That they own all of your childhood and your children's childhood and so on and so forth for perpetuity. That's it.
Lucky for me, I don't remember too much of my childhood, so I don't have so many sad associations with these movies that I won't be able to watch unless I pay for a streaming service.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't like Star Wars, and you don't like superhero things, and you don't like cartoons, and so you're pretty much unaffected by this.
I mean, I don't not like Star Wars.
I think we have several episodes of evidence that you don't enjoy it. You're not going to be paying a monthly subscription for a service that provides Star Wars to you.
No, that is accurate. Yeah.
But anyway, that's a thing. Mm-hmm. That's all there is to say about that news, I think. Money, money, money.
I should start my own streaming service.
Well, see, that was kind of a joke. It's everybody's like, oh no, all these streaming services, you can't pay for all of it, and like you're gonna have to, you know, choose what you can pay for. And I think a lot of people are also missing the fact that a lot of these are month to month right now, and what we're probably going to see is a move towards yearly discounts on memberships for things, so that you will be enticed to pay up front for an entire year of the Disney service or whatever, because you'll get it at a 30% discount if you do that. And that way they can lock you in for the entire year and you can't just cancel whenever you feel like it and start whenever you want. That might be what we see more people moving towards, which will return us back to basically the era that we currently live in with cable television.
Well, I was going to say, at what point is somebody going to start a company that's like, just pay us the combined amount and we'll deal with all of the headaches of login stuff for you, and we'll sign up for all of the streaming services for you. We'll aggregate the streaming services. You just pay us one time and then, you know, we'll handle that for you. And it's basically just, you know, back to DirecTV or whatever.
Yeah, well, but that's what DirecTV now is doing.
Mm-hmm. And then you just be locked in to all of your stupid things. I looked at my bill recently, accidentally mostly, but I think I saw that for some reason I'm paying less a month for DirecTV than I used to be, which is nice. I don't know why. Still way too much money.
Maybe Amanda canceled something on you and know it.
No. She wouldn't do that.
I am a technically a cord cutter, I suppose. In that I don't pay for a cable service, except for my cable internet subscription here. And Jason, though, has a DirecTV thing going on, but just the regular kind of DirecTV. What's interesting about the bundling that they're doing, though, is that some of these television services are also trying to come up with unique properties that are exclusive to their television brand, such as CBS with their All Access branding, where things like the Good Wife sequel thing, whatever that was, I don't remember. It was on for like a season. I think it's already canceled. That's
that one lady from ER. She had that show for a while.
Yeah, but I think this one's just about Christine Baranski's character. But anyway, it was, because it's I don't think they're making it anymore.
Christine Baranski.
You know Christine Baranski.
Oh, yeah, right, of course. Sure. Yeah. Leonard's mom from Big Bang Theory.
I was going to say all kinds of other things that she's done, but sure. But they're going to have Star Trek Discovery eventually at some point soon, and that'll be unique to CBS All Access. And so even if you have a cable subscription you're paying for, you won't get access to that unless you shell out extra money on top of that for this unique streaming service. So that is unbundleable. It is without bundle. That's really super freaking annoying. Other than being robbed by the internet by Les Moonves and Bob Iger, things should be fine. Looking forward to the future where you can stream stuff and things, and you can pay a little extra for no ads, which is another thing that people are adding on top of other things now.
Yeah. Somebody recently told me that Hulu runs deals through Bank of America every now and then, so I could potentially get a discount on a Hulu subscription, which I've already forgotten why I would be interested in a Hulu subscription, but... apparently, that's a thing that one could do.
Well, they have they've started to branch out into bundling as well, where they have a Hulu Live service that is a few things, like basically like Sling or DirecTV Now, where they have some stuff and they bundle it together and you can watch it live. Supposedly, the app sucks, but that's
right, yeah, that came up when we were talking before. People are angry about Merlin, Hulu, but I don't know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I don't.
Apple's going to sort all this stuff out with the next version of TVOS.
It'll be so sweet. Speaking of, since you brought it up, when you go to stream things through your special bundled streaming service that you're going to come up with, your streaming service, that will be able to be in UHD 4K HDR, either HDR10 or Dolby Vision, with the new Apple TV. Isn't that exciting? Aren't you excited? Are you thrilled?
Very, very excited about that. Did you watch that hour-long resolution demo thing from Steve Whatcha-Who's-It guy that was going around? It was the very technical analysis of all the different camera types and things.
Oh, Steve Yedlin.
Steve Yedlin's thing, yeah.
Yeah, the cinematographer of many fine projects, including the new Star Wars movie that's going to be coming out soon. And he's probably most famous for some other technical experiments that he's done comparing film cameras to like Alexa cameras and stuff for digital purposes, for the perceived differences that people think they can see in film and digital. As for the thing, the really long thing, I kept meaning to, but I haven't, because it's really long, and everybody says it's boring.
No, so it's about I found it kind of interesting, but you know, most of the points that he's reinforcing are, don't worry about it, it's not that big a deal. But I think one of the lesser things that I took away from it that I couldn't tell you specifically why that was addressed at this point was there was a method by which he was showing a 2K to 4K scale somewhere in the post pipeline that produced not terrible results and were better than, I mean, they were close enough to a 4K result that I almost want to like walk back my incredibly harsh analysis of UHD content these days, because it's not, it was better than the 1080 finish version, you know, comparatively, but the 2K to 4K upscaling stuff that he showed, or the very, you know, scaling like a direct 4K finish to a 2K to 4K, a lot of it was actually pretty close if done properly in the right portion of the post pipeline. So, you know, now that there would be an Apple TV capable of streaming 4K stuff, and if people are actually going to start finaling stuff in UHD, HDR, it might actually kind of sort of be time now to be looking at 4K in the home. I mean, I guess it's been years, so I guess it was okay back, you know, 2 years ago when we were additionally harsh on the idea of buying a 4K TV.
Well, last time we talked about it, and we were really harsh about it, was basically when they were coming out with the various Blu-ray specs that would support HDR, because there isn't just one HDR, and there are multiple flavors, and so they're all supported on the discs, and the discs can even have multiple HDR flavors on them, and depending on your player and your TV, it can be a whole soup of a mess about that stuff for what you'll wind up seeing on your screen. You might not even get HDR at all. Who knows? And even with it, if all the stars align and you get the HDR, let's say you get HDR 10, and it's HDR 10, HDR 10 on your player, and HDR 10 on your TV. Your display might only be able to display a certain percentage of the overall brightness, the nits that are in the spec, and it just sort of gracefully degrades that. So you don't really know. It's not like a firm thing when you're thinking about these numbers and names for stuff. So
I guess the point is really just kind of doesn't matter anymore. Like 4K is still going to be a sales point on most of these TVs, but you know, I have been keeping an eye on some of the TVs. I don't know, mostly in Costco, but a few other places. And it seems like, you know, that at most there's maybe like a $15 difference between a 1080p TV and a 4K TV of the same price. And basically everything else is exactly the same: ports, you know, size, refresh rate, all that stupid crap. Although, you know, sometimes the 4K ones have 240 hertz instead of 120 hertz, which, again, who cares? Because that's terrible. You should turn that off, which coincidentally I did turn off in the hotel lobby in Ohio that we were hanging out in for a little while. But it seems to be the point now where it's just like, okay, sure, if you're into a 4K TV, buy a 4K TV. It's not that big a deal. They're not trying to gouge people for additional money, because look, 4K now, it still doesn't really matter in terms of enjoyment in the home, because another one of Steve's projects, or I think he even shows a brief graphic of it in that video, is, you know, viewing distances and whether or not you're going to see this resolution. Of course, the answer is still no, unless you're 4 feet away from your TV. But yeah, I think 4K currently is a little less of a scammy marketing term than it was 2 years ago. Yeah, because it was about 2 years ago that we were talking trash about it, because Matt was on, what episode, like episode 7 or 10 of this show, and we're on...
That was our episode on Goldfinger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 160 of these or something now.
Yeah, it was like 15 or 16. We were bad mouthing it because he had just bought a 4K TV. We're like, why'd you do that? But you know, we're jerks. But 4K, like you're saying, it makes more sense now than it used to.
It's still not native, and it's still not perfect, and it's still not going to be. Oh, look at how it's not going to be a dramatic shift in viewing experience. Because one of the other things he shows in that hour long video is why the jump from standard def to HD was huge, in terms of where, you know, if you were to shoot something and if you were to drop down to standard F in the post pipeline. But the difference between HD and 2K and 4K is much smaller in terms of how it's going to really affect the final viewing experience. So, it's not a huge deal.
Yeah, but also there's, like you were saying, though, is how it's mastered. So there are going to be things that are going to look better than other things, and people might not even know or realize or care. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see how that affects the amount of money that various companies want to spend on their restorations of old films or on
you're going to get a 4K or a Blu-ray, HD Blu-ray scan of a 16 millimeter film or something from the 1910s. It's like, yeah, it's not really going to be 4K, but sure. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, not just that, but also, like, if they have a version of it that was already mastered, like, are they just going to upscale it, depending on how big of a deal the movie was, you know? Like, are they just going to do, like, a bare minimum of futzing? and with some of these things, like we had said in the past, and it's still true today, if the effects were finaled at a resolution that's under 4K, those will be finaled at a resolution under 4K. Now, the scaling might not add noticeable softening or artifacts should they choose to sharpen it with one of the various algorithms or sharpening things that you can do when you scale something. But you might have a situation where some of the effects were done at a resolution that was even below 2K for some projects, especially in the 90s and early 2000s. Mm-hmm. But and that is especially true for television shows too. A lot of television shows will be done to HD res, so even if they could go back and pull footage that's higher, they wouldn't be able to do anything with the VFX shots. But that would only affect back catalogs of television shows, which I'm not even convinced a lot of people would care about, because I mean, people still watch Friends and it looks like garbage when you try to watch it.
Depends on which season you're talking about.
Yeah, well, it's all smeary and gross, but anyway I feel like that's gonna keep going on. Like there's just gonna be like, oh yeah, it's in UHD HDR, and it's like, is it?
Really nicely mastered in 2K and they do an up-res to 4K, disregarding the HDR portion of that, it's not going to look terrible. And depending on how they do it and what version of the file they use to do it, it may not be horrifying, basically, is what I took from the Yedlin thing.
Yeah, I mean, because it's not... 2K is not one quarter of the image like HD is. So things that are HD and scaled up to 4K, less good, substantially less good. But things that are 2K and scaled up are not going to be noticeably that bad. Because what is it? It's about like 1.5 for the scale up for that.
Oh, I don't know. You want me to do math right now?
Because it would also vary depending on the aspect ratio of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're still going to be scaling it to the frame, the 16:9 frame to fit within it.
1.51.
Yeah, okay. So about 1.5. So it's not horrendous, although it's not scaling on square pixels or anything, but it still has more data, so I'm sure there's all kinds of fun stuff that you can do with scaling algorithms. There is some unbelievable things you can do with scaling algorithms, but as long as it looks good, that's fine. Who cares? You're going to be watching it from 15 feet away on a 60-inch television.
Yeah.
I do kind of want to buy a UHD TV, though, but I want to wait till the Apple TV comes out so that I can figure out what the best TV to pair with it will be.
Pairing a wine with your dinner.
Yeah. I want a, you know, good cab with my steak. I want, you know, I want to think about this stuff.
people shouldn't eat steak.
Yeah, I've heard that somewhere else before. But
the Apple TV is the steak of the streaming devices ecosystem.
You're just trolling for titles right now, Dad.
I'm trying to get some sort of clickbait pull quote that we can anger people on the internet with.
Okay. I would say that it's currently more of the cube steak of that, but like $100 cube steak, but whatever.
You believe how much they charge for the Apple TV still?
$150, Dan.
That's too much.
Yeah, $200 if you want more storage. What will you use the storage for? Who knows?
Well, if you play a lot of games,
yes,
it's possible you might want a larger Apple TV.
No one does that. No one will want that. Still not a thing. Even when they increased the data caps, like in January or February, and it was like, oh wow, you can store all this stuff on. Maybe that'll finally explain. Nobody's making anything that does that. Who cares? They're all just tiny streaming apps that do media things that are just being pulled off the internets and then put up on your screen, and that's it. And there is no storage offline of any media. There's no caching that occurs that would substantially affect which model you choose.
Gotta store my saved Mario games.
There aren't any, because there's no Mario. Remember, Dan?
No. I don't have one of the new TVs, so I can't do stuff. No.
You're not missing out on anything. You by not buying the fourth generation Apple TV, you have saved yourself $150.
Mm-hmm. See, I saved that money and I put it in a savings account, and then I just let it accrue interest so I can afford the new one.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. I probably spent it on some tacos or something.
Well, tacos are probably a better way to spend your money on things than on Apple TVs. But whatevs. I'm excited for the new one that will come out, because I also think they're going to do a whole bunch of crazy service promotion things, increase the number of sign-on whatevers and the TV app things to be less crappy. But we'll see how that goes.
Is there going to be anything worthwhile for me? aside from, well, UHD isn't going to be worthwhile for me because I still have a HD TV.
No, I don't. Well, I mean, you'd have to like cancel your cable subscription or something. Like, I don't know why you would buy one.
I'm just saying, yeah, what's going to make it worth it for me other than the ability that I can shout at my Siri remote and I can download apps and stuff?
Nothing. I mean, that's basically what you got. And all the same apps are available that you use on the Fire TV, and you can yell at your Fire TV remote.
Well, I mean, you know, if that Apple TV costs $30, just like my Fire Stick, maybe I'll buy one.
Oh, I don't think that's going to happen, Dan.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
But one fun thing, though, is they added the thingy. So now with my Echo Dot, I can tell it to turn on my TV and load an app or play a video, and it will just do it. And I don't even have to do anything. Just sit there in a room, not touching a surface. And
magical.
It will just, yeah.
Is this related to the home automation hub thing that you purchased that I assume you purchased because we yelled at you about your air conditioner?
Oh, no, but interesting side story I'll tell you after this. This is a feature that Amazon itself rolled out to Echoes and Fire TVs to control these devices. Mm. And apparently you can also like control Dish Network DVRs or whatever, but who cares? That is a thing that they did like 2 weeks ago. But it's fun. It's novel. The Harmony Hub can also do that through an Alexa integration. But I don't need to do that for any reason. Because the only reason I really bought the Harmony Hub, like we had discussed before, was because it can control an air conditioner. Not by design, but by happenstance. And I have had it work successfully every time I have pushed the button to turn on the AC or to turn off the AC, except once, which was unfortunate because that was last night when I was coming home and it was so hot in here. It was 91. But every other time it's worked flawlessly. So 90% of the time it works every time. It's nice though, because I can turn it on when I'm not here and it'll cool down the whole place. It's much better.
So it's mostly working as expected, and you didn't have to, in fact, buy a water duck.
No, I did not have to buy a water duck. And as we discussed, the Simpsons one was not a duck, really. It was some sort of nondescript bird.
Just a bird with a hat.
Yeah. And a beak. Birds are wont to do.
There was there's some new wildlife living in our backyard since we got home too. There was a field mouse running around inside some of our little inflatable pool equipment stuff.
Did you pick up the field mouse and pop it on the head?
I did not, because it was just small and furry and kind of adorable. And then there was, I swear, it looks like it's a week old baby bunny just hopping around back there eating grass.
Oh, well, be careful the bunny doesn't pick up the field mouse and pop it on the head.
I don't think, I think they're friends right now, mm-hmm. but they're probably not friends with the gigantic scorpion that was on the wall that we sprayed to death with a bug killer just a little bit ago.
Oh. Interesting wildlife assortment.
And the baby quail that have been running around with their parents in the neighborhood, they've grown up a little bit. They're slightly larger. They're like racquetball sized now instead of like ping pong ball sized.
Oh, that's nice.
They're very fluffy. I like the quail.
Oh, I like grilled quail.
You take that back.
They're very tasty. Tasty little birds.
They're adorable. How dare you eat a quail?
Because it's on the menu, Dan.
Whose menu?
Well, it was the Hitching Post one time, and then a bunch of other places. I did not have steak at the Hitching Post. I had duck, and I had quail. So I basically just ate the things that you love the most in the world. it was very good. The Hitching Post is very strange. It's a very peculiar
where
location.
Is the Hitching Post?
It is... in Santa Barbara County or Santa Ynez County, it's right near Solvang in whatever Buellton. That's what it was. Buellton is the name of the town that it's in. But it's basically
like
you just
made all those names up.
No, I didn't. But you basically drive 2 minutes outside of Solvang and you're in Buellton, and there is a large parking lot, and you go in there, and it is very peculiar inside. And they are mostly famous because they have their own Pinot Noirs that they make, multiple Pinot Noirs. And they were in the movie Sideways, which is insufferable. It's an insufferable movie. But so their wine is okay, but not great. It's not worth what they charge. But the food is pretty good. And there's this weird thing where they start off the meal by bringing around a basket with individually wrapped crackers in it of various varieties. So there's like, you know, Keebler townhome crackers and like like various like little wrapped crackers of all sorts, and you're just staring at this waiter who's handing this to you, and you're just like, I'm supposed to just like take one, like instead of a bread thing, you know, that comes around with like a bread service, you're just like, here's some crackers, go to town. And it's handed to you as if it was trick or treat. You know, grab some.
That's down home country cooking right there.
It is.
Well, I'm sorry you ate the quail, because quail are too cute to eat.
Oh, so good. Delicious, succulent quail.
I did have some good rabbit's legs in L.A.
Rabbit's okay. It can be a little dry. Although I have had good rabbit at a different wine location up in Paso Robles. There's a good Italian restaurant there, and they had boar. And then across from them, there was this other place, and they had rabbit sausage in like a big spiral on top of pasta. And then there was like other rabbit things in it. And it was just like, this is a lot of rabbit for like what I'm eating. And I'm not really a huge fan. And then there was a Jose Andres Las Vegas restaurant inside of the Cosmopolitan, and they had rabbit, but it was like weirdly confit and strange. And I don't recommend that one. have the little bechamel, whatever, the jamon croquettes. Those are good. Go for those.
Mm. Well, I had it at the animal down there on the Fairfax or whatever street that is. So if you're in the mood for it, go there.
Yes. The Fairfax animals.
That's got to be a high school baseball team, right?
The Fairfax Animals?
Yeah.
Which animals would be on the logo?
all of the ones native to the Fairfax.
All of the animals.
All of the ones native to that particular area in Hollywood.
Okay. So I guess like coyotes, foxes? I don't know. But anywho, I think that about concludes this broadcast day.
Sure. It's very warm in here.
Tis.
It's only gone up 0.2 degrees more, but it feels hotter.
79.2.
82.8. Oh, 0.9. Look at that.
I'm on a much sharper slope when it comes to how warm it's getting. But I am surprised your place is getting warmer because you've been running the AC, central AC, the entire time, and it's also night.
Yeah, so, but it's
how does that happen?
It's 94 degrees outside, and it was 106 today. And
Jesus,
my office is on the other side of the house from the air conditioner, so the air doesn't compensate for it.
How is it 94 degrees at 10:15 at night?
Because it was 106 today. That's
oh my
that's
god,
that's how we roll here. Plus, I've been constantly backblazing. Not as we speak because the drobos would be way too loud, but that keeps the room a little bit warmer.
Oh.
It backblazed 10 terabytes while I was on vacation.
That's good. That's what, almost half of what you needed to backblaze?
Mm-hmm. Well, I got about 13 left.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You'll get there next week.
Yeah, hopefully.
Or the week after.
Hopefully.
Yeah. All right. Well, hasta luego.
Hasta mañana or something.
Well, sure.